The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1 with SuperValue Travel Insurance. Don't worry about a thing with great value travel insurance online at supervalue.ie.
At this time of the year, you probably think that all eyes are on either Croke Park or a bunch of fields in Stradbally and County Leash. You'd be wrong, because they're on Liz Dunvarna as the matchmaking festival kicks off for another year. But spare a thought for the matchmakers who are hard at it all year round. The three of them here in front of me. Welcome to the programme. Gus Martin, his wife Olive on my left-hand side, and Olive's father in the middle. That's Tom Feeney. They are matchmakers from Trim in County Meath. Good morning to all three of you.
Good morning, Dave.
Good morning to you now. Listen, I'm going to ask you first then, so I might as well go over to you, Gus. You're the original. No, in fact, I won't. I'm going to go to Tom first. Tom, you are the first, right? You are the like the original of the species. You made your first match when you were 17.
That's right.
You're not 17 now, I can tell you. So how did that happen? Tell me about the first match.
It happened by accident. I was in the farmer's place in the morning about 10 o'clock, selling them a couple of animals. And there was a lady on her own that owned the farm. And from the time she was, told me she was very lonesome, that she'd like to meet somebody. So I didn't pass much remarks. I didn't know that much about matchmaking. So during the day or after lunch, I was in another farm, and it was a man this time. And he told me the same story. Because as I, this can be put together. So I started matching the two of them, brought them together. None of them had a car or a van. The bride had a bike. That's all she had. So anyway, we started, brought them together, and I bring them once or twice a week for a bit of a courtship before we went the whole way.
Wait a second. This is a family programme. Okay, let's start again. Bit of a courtship. So hold on. Bride is here. She's got a bicycle. There's the other guy you met later on. And what did you do? Did you bring them somewhere? Did you make them meet in the pub or something?
Oh, yes. We'd go to a pub, to a place called the Snug.
All right, the Snug.
Them times.
For a bit of peace and quiet.
Yeah. The woman didn't let to be so openly in the pub. So we'd go to the Snug.
Yeah.
That was Orleans and Kells, by the way. And we'd be there for a while and bring them back in. And then they'd leave them on their own for a while.
Hold on a second. Are you telling me that you bring them to the Snug and you're sitting in the Snug at the same time your phone's on there?
I stay out of the way.
Yeah. All right, okay, fair enough.
I get the romance going.
Right, so like, do you stay out of the way about 10 yards away, 20 yards away? Would you be outside the pub? Would you be watching them, basically, is what I'm saying?
Then I take them home and another little bit on their own.
Right.
So next thing then is the dowry. He was very, very greedy, very hungry for money. We had to find her dowry.
Right.
So she had a sow and a couple of bonnets and a cow and a couple of things like that and hens and a cock.
Right.
So that was her dowry.
Right. So wait a minute. So you're saying they got together because of you and they stayed together, did they?
Oh, yes.
It worked.
So the
experiment you had at matchmaking worked first time.
It was a success.
Right. So you knew that you were born to matchmaking.
I went to the wedding and all. We had them engaged. We brought them to town here to get engaged. So we got the engagement ring and the wedding ring the one day, keeping down expenses, not travelling, not too much travelling.
Right.
So
and he got cut out of the wedding ring, didn't he? He said to the jeweller, I'm bringing these two up, and he got a little backhander.
Oh, really? Well, hold on a second. You didn't lick this up off the ground, did you? Your parents were matchmakers as well.
Then I started from that. That's how we carried on from that. No charge. Don't charge any money. But I do like to be brought to the wedding. Very important. To be a guest at the wedding.
Hold on a second. I might as well stay with you for this one here. When you say guest at the wedding, are you telling me this has happened so often that it works every time or it's worked a lot and you get invited to loads of weddings?
That's right. And they say, an old saying, going to a wedding can be the makings of an hour.
Oh, yeah. Especially if you catch the bouquet, sorry, the flowers, my God. Yeah. Okay.
I've handed over to Gus, the younger people. I'll put you on to Gus there. Gus looks after, I look after the over 50s, and Gus looks after the under 50s.
Right, well, can I, hold on a second, Gus. You married Tom's daughter,
correct,
Olive.
Yes.
So we're all here together. Let's get this one right. Did the two of you get married because
that was a match too.
Oh, was it? Oh, it was a match.
Well, actually, Tom actually introduced Olive to me at Ballinasloe Horse Fair. That's coming up the first Sunday of every October, right? And we met there in the hill in Ballinasloe where there's thousands of people, thousands of horses and everything else. And we never looked back since. Never looked back since.
All right. Now, were you looking for somebody?
Well, you see, my father and Tom used to know each other because they were farmers and they were bits of sheep farmers and horse farmers and whatnot and dealers. So they knew each other. So Tom knew I was around and I was available.
I thought this hardy day of a gossip.
He knew you were loose.
Yeah, I knew I was loose, yeah. Right. And likewise, I knew he had a daughter as well called Olive. So I said, why not get together and see what happens? And we never looked back since. That's 33 or 4 years ago.
And were you eyeing up the horses or eyeing up the fillies?
Oh, that would have been a bit of a deal.
And there would have been a value. Horses, donkeys, but especially women. Women, a few girls, yeah.
Especially women, a few girls. Okay, yeah. Right. And did you look, like, were you there and saying, oh, look, I like the look of that one over there?
Well, she caught me, eye, put it that way. But what's more so, she definitely was impressed by me, you know.
Right, okay.
Definitely impressed.
Olive! Were you definitely... By the way, were you there looking for somebody as well? Maybe or
well,
not just a horse?
Well, I was brought down to Ballinasloe to maybe ride a pony around the fair. Daddy would have had a pony for sale. And I would have been brought around to ride the pony around the fair.
Yeah.
And then we met up with Gus's father and we sold the pony to Gus's father. And then we were introduced.
Yeah.
And...
So your father probably bought the pony just to impress her at the same time.
It was all in the deal.
Yeah, it was all in the deal. That's what I'm trying to say. It was all part of it. So then what about the next part? The dowry that you mentioned. What about any... like? Did you
I got a little bit of a dowry, all right. I can't say in public what it was, but it was animals.
I had three calves come on with me.
A few animals I got when we got married. And we got married in County Meath, of course, where they're from. I'm from County Galway originally myself. So it's 100 miles apart, but... it was well worth it.
So what are we talking about here? Are we talking about a pony, a horse or a cob? In terms of just what was being looked for?
Well, you see, really, we were actually selling the cob, you know what I mean?
Oh, you were selling it, right.
And
yeah, okay.
Olive bought the cob off us It was great.
Okay, but hold on a second now. Tom, you're the over 50s. You look after the over 50s.
That's right.
And Gus, you look after the under 50s.
Yes.
So Olive... Obvious question. What's your role in all this?
See if we if Gus is going to meet a girl first. If a girl wants to meet Gus to have a chat, I always go with Gus because it's not fair for a girl to meet.
Yeah.
You know, I'm the chaperone, we'll say, and a lot of girls would talk to me and tell me what they want, and I would be coming from the girl's angle. So it's not nice for a girl. And when we meet up a boy and a girl, Gus and Daddy, and I always go as well, that the girl is somebody there. So if she doesn't like him, that she can say to me or she can say to the lads.
Hold on, I just say, doesn't like them. Is that from 20 or 30 yards away or is that in the snug?
Oh, no. Well, see, now there's no snugs anymore. So.
Well, you know what I mean. You know exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah, we meet up in the pub and your man will come in first and he might sit up at the bar. And she could see him and she'd say...
From the distance.
Like, I don't like the look of him. Like, if she didn't like the look of him, it wouldn't be fair. So Gus would have to go up then and tell your man, which is not nice.
And have you had to go up and tell the guys, and do they believe
you? Not many, no.
Well, not too many, I'm saying. But if a girl is not interested from a distance, we say, that's fine. That's fine.
End of
and we have our cup of tea or whatever else. We can meet at the races. We can lots of different places. Not alone a pub now. GA games or whatever.
Sure. And rugby Olive, games. Like, I mean, would there be, like, have you been out with a girl 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 times? She said no every time.
Well, no, not really. She wouldn't say, if she said no to not the look of him, the next time she might like the guy.
Well, you mean you don't give up? You don't just discard the guy. He's still back in the equation.
Oh, he's still back in the loop because the next girl might like him.
All right.
We were actually down in Mayo, down in Westport last weekend, where we match made a couple and they had a christening.
Yeah, this is the aftercare service.
It's the aftercare service. So we brought down, myself and Olive went down and we had a great weekend.
We had a great weekend at the
christening. Westport. Like, we don't charge anything for this matchmaking. We're voluntary and we're inundated, really. But we can't cater for every single person.
No.
But
are you like Tom, that the prize you want is you quite like to get invited to the wedding?
Yes. Of course. Right. Yeah, we've been several weddings and Christmas and engagements, of course, as well. You know what I mean? But it's look, there's a lot of lonely boys and girls and men and women out there. And it's just to give them that extra little bit of a push.
Yeah.
And we match make them like with like. Like, you wouldn't put a pony with a horse. You know what I mean? You know, you'd move them around.
I could say, where does a cob fit into this? Actually, I'll tell you what I want to do. I want to take a break, and I want anybody who has any advice or would like some advice about matchmaking, 51551. So, Olive, you've had time to gather your thoughts here about this. Do many, it's like the women who come to you, or maybe the women who go to Gus, they really might be looking for you, and then you can talk to them. What advice do you give them?
Well, you see, somebody comes and she wants this person that was never met. I want a fellow that loves the sea. I want him to bring me out for meals. And this perfect, perfect person is never, ever met. And some girls, maybe their expectations are too high of a fella. And I would say, you know, see if he's a nice person. It's not all about looks. It's all about personality. Will he be a kind person? Will he be nice to you? I think that's more important than looks. And maybe they're looking for this, you know, we see too many films and we're looking for this kind of Hugh Grant, this romantic guy. Yeah. And there are not too many of them around.
No.
You know, you just have your ordinary Joe Soaps that are trying to be nice to girls and... That would be it. Be nice.
Well, then preparing for a date from your point of view, Gus, I mean, like, you know, if everybody isn't George Clooney, whatever, what kind of advice do you give to men when they're preparing for a date? Or do you give none and just hand it over to Olive? Do you do the men as well in terms of advice?
Oh, no, he'd talk
to me. I say somebody contact me, right? I might not know him from Adam, you know? So we do meet first, right? We meet this man, say, halfway, whatever it is. And normally he's a genuine man, anything from 25 to 50.
Mm.
And... He looks genuine, he acts genuine, we have a cup of tea or whatever, you know. And we ask him a few questions of his background, you know.
You'd be a good reader of character, Gus.
I'd be a good reader of a character and see what he's like as well. And then we get his name and address and all the rest.
And you check out local, what, priests, the local guard, the local...
Correct,
whatever,
we kind of vet him as such by contact the local priest or the local guard station.
But if you ring the guard station and say who you are from a long way away, from not necessarily in the place where the guy is getting in touch with you from, did they say, wait a minute, who are you exactly?
You talk nice to them. You get around them all right in a nice way, you know. But definitely the parish priest would give you a genuine rundown, and the parish priest knows the whole lot, and so does the local guards. But you wouldn't really match a lad that has a criminal record with a nice girl, you know what I mean?
Right.
You try and keep them right, you know what I mean? I'm not saying anything like that, but what I'm saying is they'd like to be straight people.
Well, actually, that makes a lot of sense. So here's a few things here. Like, what if the fella doesn't like the look of her? Says Susie.
Well, he
in
can
Cork.
Say no as well.
He can say no as he well. Okay, no fair enough. Well. Here's another one of 51551. Do you match professional people? And that comes in from Hopeless Sheila in Galway.
Yes, we do.
Of course, we call them white collar people.
Right.
White collar, they could be, we had doctors, we had nurses, we have
teachers.
Nurses is very, very common, nurses, because they spend a lot of their years at college and looking after the elderly, and then maybe their own parents, and next minute the boat has gone out.
Yeah.
If they've just gone. They haven't met anyone nice, but definitely there's no doubt about it. We've met all types, shapes and sizes.
Do you think an awful lot of people have let that boat go out and have been a bit unlucky and have also made the wrong decision to wait and wait and wait and wait?
I wouldn't say any of what people tell us, especially the females, what they tell us about minding their parents or grandparents, and the boat has gone out and suddenly the boat has sunk because time has gone by, and it's an awful pity. They're top class girls, and they love life to the full, and they just never met this Mr. Wright.
What did one person say? We just ran out of time.
Yeah,
yeah.
He was 55, and
time
he said,
caught up in us.
Time caught up in me.
Yeah.
And like, they're very genuine. I'm saying they opened their heart to us, you know.
You take anyone who's gone on to be a teacher, a nurse, whatever. Those 4 years they're in college, I suppose they're fairly wild nowadays, but they're studying and. Really working hard to get themselves up in the profession, and they haven't time to meet somebody, and then the boat has gone out.
Suddenly they're 30, 35, 40, 45, 50.
I think it's very important to meet these two people face to face, besides on nowadays you hear about
Tinder.
Funny, I was going to ask that, because look, here's a text here at 51551 which says, really enjoying your piece on matchmaking. Your guests are so down to earth and refreshing. Now, down to earth and refreshing, with all due respect, is not the kind of stuff you're going to get on dating sites and Tinders and
all the rest.
So do you get involved in any level of that? Do you?
We're as we say, we're voluntary, right? We're not into Tinder as such, right? That's for somebody else. But we matchmake, we bring them face to face. And shake hands, and have a cup of tea, and we just talk there, say in a hotel or wherever it is, and then we go out to the lobby, myself and Tom and Oliver, whoever else, and we give them a half hour, and we come back to make sure that the girl has been looked after.
Yeah, that's most important.
Most important that the girl is being, because she's some mother's daughter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And because I have daughters myself, and it's very, very important that. We make sure that if the romance didn't happen there, or Blossom starting off, that we make sure she gets to her car, gets to her bus, and she gets home safe and sound.
That's
and
important.
Would you let your daughters go to matchmakers?
Yes,
yeah,
I would.
Would you vet them first?
I'd bet the fella first.
Yes, yes, yes.
I don't know if our daughters would be too pleased with
that. But our daughters are a bit too young for
actually,
that.
Actually, Tom, I'm just thinking that, like, you know, if you're the over 50s one, and we're talking mostly here now about the under 50s one, I mean, do you have you ever matched sort of, if you like, you know, widows and widowers?
Because oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes. Oh, very much.
That's
oh, very much so, yeah. They'd be more of my clients are separated people.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, divorces, but nothing wrong with that, because I'm saying they might have married for all the wrong reasons. Just didn't click, you know, so...
I was at the Lisdon Varna Matchmaking Festival last weekend. It says this one, droves of women, men very scarce, says Carmel Dolan. So,
yeah, men are scarce.
Would you find more women are getting in touch with you guys than men? Really?
Totally, totally correct. That call is totally correct, because the ladies are in abundance. There's no doubt about that.
But maybe the men are shyer, isn't it?
And we get a lot of ladies coming from Dublin down to the country. You know, looking for, as we call it, love.
Mm.
Or a nice companion, a partner, whatever you call it, you know. We have some people cohabitating together. We have some people married. We have no divorces yet from our matchmaking, which is very important. But of course, we match divorces together. There's nothing wrong with that whatsoever.
Okay, there's one here, like a straightforward one. It's the same kind of thing you'd see in the paper. Single female looking for 100% straight, responsible and 100% available guy. I'm 45 and tall. Both apparently go against me in this game. And she wants some advice. So very simply, 45 is probably an average age.
Yeah, it's good age.
Okay, good age.
It's good age, yeah.
Tall woman, she doesn't seem to think that tall is good.
Yeah, I think tall is nice. I like a tall man.
Yeah, well, I've said it. Tall or small, they're all the same, really. You know what I mean? But you wouldn't put a small man, as I said, a pony with a horse. You know what I mean?
Here's one from David in Dublin. Do you guys do same-sex matches?
Well, to tell you the honest truth, we don't. We have nothing against it. We all know about the referendum there recently, the whole lot. That might be for another day, another year, but at the moment, no.
We're not that much.
In time, seemingly, that's coming.
Yeah, yeah. Right, okay.
Nothing against it whatsoever.
Okay, just as a matter of interest, how much demand is there for your matchmaking services? Is there quite a lot? Like, is this I know you do it all year round. Yeah, does that mean you do it 9 to 5 every day?
Well, we're bits of farmers, and Tom is semi-retired there, and believe it or not, we could make a full-time job out of it if we really wanted to.
Right.
We really can't
cope. Sometimes it's hard to get enough time for it, really.
Yeah, it's not that easy. Not that easy to get full time.
Like deciding on who is a good match for who, you're the ones who kind of make that decision. Do you ever have to correct somebody and say to them, he actually is really great? Or no, listen, wait a minute, you mightn't like whatever, but look, seriously, I want to tell you something about the great qualities of this person that you haven't seen in the first meeting.
You see, the three of us would be very, very good readers of characters. And if you meet a person, you'd know them within the first half hour, wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, I'm a referee by trade, anyway, a hurling and football, so I can, you know, really. But most matches we make and they go out the first night, guarantee that night at 12 or 1 o'clock, we get a phone call from her or him.
Yes.
Saying everything is grand, everything, you know.
Going to meet again. He's
a nice fellow, we're going to meet again, a nice girl, we're going to meet again. So that's very enjoyable for us to hear back.
And, like, what are you working on at the moment? Are you working on many cases, subjects?
Unread at the moment now. I don't know.
Two or three kind of
spring
in the pipeline.
Is very, 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 very busy. Summertime wouldn't normally be as busy, I suppose, people go on holidays and whatnot. But spring and autumn is exceptionally busy.
Spring and autumn is exceptionally busy. But, like, I mean, most year round, 24 hours a day, it's exceptionally busy being a farmer. So it's difficult to find the time, I'd imagine, yeah.
But look, if you ever want a man to do a job or a woman to do a job, ask a busy man.
Well, somebody said that in the programme only yesterday, and it's completely true, yeah. So the going to a wedding can be the making of another, can it? Have you found that to be true?
Oh, definitely, definitely.
It's a great place to meet someone.
Yeah, and the people will say, if we go to a wedding and we have match made, they have no problem in saying, the best man saying, thanks to the matchmakers down there, or like, you know, because they're not hiding the fact.
No,
The two people are in love and they're happy, and what more?
Do you find that an awful lot of people aren't hiding what might have been hid when you were younger and realise the country has changed so much and opened up for the better?
Oh, definitely. They're not shy anymore in coming forward and telling you, I'm 40 years of age, I'm lonely. And there is a lot of lonely people out there. And loneliness is an awful thing.
Mm.
You know, you go home at night time and close the door and you don't see anyone till the next morning. So they want a friend.
Yeah.
And it's nice to want a friend. Everybody wants a friend or a partner, a comrade. Go on holidays.
And many years ago, the lonely behind the closed door stayed behind the closed door, didn't it?
Yes. Yeah. One day said to me, even going to a wedding, you know what I mean? A friend's wedding or a family wedding, it's so annoying, you know, when she has no partner. And everyone else has partners there, or husbands, or whatever the story is. And she just feels left out, and she normally goes home early.
Yeah.
But if she just had a friend or a companion, maybe not necessarily to get married to him.
Maybe too shy to ask themselves. And just the matchmaker is kind of a little help to help you.
Some of them need a bit of a push.
Just a little push. A little bit of help.
I'm not saying a kick in the backside, but a little bit of a push to move them on. And then they're lovely people.
All right, there's one here. I don't know where this is coming from. Girls, a few wise words. Keep your drawers up. Okay, fair enough. Do you consider people over 50? The answer is yes, because that's Tom. That's his job. That's from a gent of 57. At the age of 48, I met my wife through the NOC Marriage Bureau.
Yes,
a similar
good.
Technique, but there's no dowry involved. Is dowry still involved in a big way, is it?
Well, not under 50 as much as over 50.
Yeah,
Tom. Tom lived through that era, you know.
All right, well, listen, look, a last one here, because we do have to go to the news. So I just want to say there's one here for you, Tom. It says, I'm 82 and fit. Have I any hope?
Is that a man or a woman?
I don't know.
I'm 82
textless, myself. Sexless.
He's 82 himself.
I'm 82
so.
You're 82 yourself. And if it's a woman, you're laughing. All right, listen, guys, thank you so much for dropping in today. We'll put all the stuff on the website as well, so everything can get in touch.